Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lynn S., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. Today is Thursday, June the 11th, 2026, and we're continuing our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter We Agnostics, page 44, the third paragraph, but it isn't so difficult. And we'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Chris W., the 12 Traditions, Patsy M., and readers of the text, Martha Z., Reva P., and Penny C. The share ID for Wednesday, June the 10th, the 7 a.m. meeting is 23535 and 23536. So again, that's 23535 and 23536. And the 10 o'clock meeting is 23537. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And this morning, Chris W. is going to read the steps for us. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Lynn. Chris W., Chris with a K from Nashville. And here's your 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me serve.
Thank you, Chris W. And Patsy M. is going to read our 12 traditions. Hi, Patsy.
Good morning, Lynn, and good morning, everyone. Thank you for service, Lynn. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you, Patsy M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. And today we're resuming our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter We Agnostics on page 44, the third paragraph, but it isn't so difficult. And we will be reading and sharing on that one paragraph only. So this morning, Martha Z is going to read for us. Good morning, Martha.
Good morning, Lynn. This is Martha Z. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater by the grace of God from outside of Philadelphia. But it isn't so difficult. Almost half of our original fellowship were of exactly that type. At first, some of us tried to avoid the issue, hoping against hope we were not true alcoholics. But after a while, we had to face the fact that we must find a spiritual basis of life, or else. Perhaps it's going to be that way with you. But cheer up. Something like half of us thought we were atheists or agnostics. Our experience shows that you need not be disconcerted. Good morning, my friends in recovery. So just to back up so we know where we are. Yesterday we were talking about the two alternatives to be doomed to an alcoholic death or to live on a spiritual basis. So they're telling
it's
us today.
It's a little hard to hear you.
Oh, is this better?
You're fine, thanks.
Okay. They're telling us that we must face the fact that we have to find a spiritual life. And then it says, or else. And it's interesting because all along, you know, especially in chapter 3, they're making the spiritual life seem pretty attractive. Like, you know, Jim's saying spiritual principles would solve all my problems. And they're talking about us being 100% hopeless apart from divine help. And his defense must come from a higher power. So then it talks about, you know, how we shouldn't be disconcerted if we, you know, we feel like we have these two alternatives. And this is a program, you know, it's going to talk about later how the realm of spirit is broad and roomy. So we get to choose whatever conception works for us. There's no pressure on that. So for me, it also says earlier, to quit on a non-spiritual basis depends on the extent to which we've lost the power of choice. And for me, absolutely had to have a spiritual basis. So I thought about the first alternative. I was not dying physically, but emotionally and spiritually, definitely. And if I had to keep living like this, I didn't want to be here anymore. And so I kind of thought, you know, with the second thing I'm just thinking about, it's kind of a what do you have to lose? Like, you have everything to gain. Like, if, you know, if we live like this, we believe that there's a higher power, and we live the way we're living, we're going to have a really good life. Or if it turns out at the end that there's no such thing, we're no worse off than we were earlier. So anyway, I am so grateful for the spiritual way of life. So it's going to tell us on the next page that this book, the whole main object is to enable us to find a power greater than ourselves, which will solve our problem, our lack of power problem, our powerlessness over our thinking. So anyway, very, very grateful for the spiritual principles and living a spiritual life, which helps me with everything. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Martha Z, for getting us started. The line is now open for sharing on what we just read. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared on Tuesday or Wednesday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once, as it does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share?
Lisa C.
Anybody else?
Jim B., Michigan.
Sorry, was that Ken P.?
Jim B., as in boy.
And what's your first name again, sir? Sorry.
Jim. Jim with an S. Thank you.
Sim, sorry, I'm sorry. And then there is, okay. So who I've heard is Lisa C, Sim B, and Ann M. Did I miss anybody?
Judith.
Judith. And who else?
Stephanie W.
Okay.
And Vasa O.
Okay. All right. Let me tell you who I did here, okay? And you can let me know if I missed anybody. Lisa C, Sim B, Ann M, Judith, Stephanie W, and Vasa O. Did I miss anybody? No? Okay, let's start off then. Good morning, Lisa. Welcome.
Hi, good morning. This is Lisa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey. Thank you so much for your service and for the wonderful lead share. I'm not entirely sure what I'm going to say, but really, it's just got this paragraph has just got me thinking a little bit about, you know, atheism, agnosticism. You know, I was raised around faith and religion and talking about God and kind of having this relationship that was really encouraged, especially by my mother. But I had a lot of questions, and I also grew up around a lot of like intellectual types, you know. So it was like not cool to believe in God or to need God, which I really desperately did from such a young age. And so I started to perceive that my need for God was problematic, that it was like not sort of advisable or admirable or desirable, I should say, really. And so I really wanted to work my way out of my need for God, which is what I spent like most of my teenage years and my 20s doing, was working my way out of my need for God and kind of being alarmed every time I would get to the end of a problem and find that there really was nothing that made me feel better other than prayer. And I really resisted that. And so I think, like, this line, it isn't so difficult, is so reassuring. It really isn't so difficult to surrender when I actually see that there's no other alternative, and that's why desperation, kind of leads me there. That's why my desperate need for God really leads me there. I have a book of meditations. It's not an OA book. It's something else. But every single day, the meditation reminds me that needing God is actually exactly where it's at. That's where I'm supposed to be, is like, because I need God, I get to have the gifts that God provides, that higher power provides. And you know what? I mean, I will just say one other thing, just because I'm talking a lot about God, and if you're not there, you know, or you have a different conception, I apologize that I'm using a word that may be triggering, but I think that, you know, the spiritual basis of life could be as simple as my husband, who says he's an atheist, there's nothing out there, and we're here by randomness. You know, the other day texted me and was like, you know, there was a meeting that someone forgot to invite me to, but if I had been invited to it, I would have gone into the office instead of worked from home. But he worked from home because he wasn't aware of this meeting, and he was able to go to my son's final playoff game where he was pitching, and it was really important to my son that my husband be there. And he was like, you know, he shared this little note with me, like, isn't that interesting how that worked out? And of course, to me, I'm seeing the details of total surrender and acceptance of every moment in that, and seeing God in it. I'm seeing, you know, that's a spiritually driven life, to be like, oh, look how it worked out. Look at how I didn't have to move mountains. I didn't have to control, fix, or manage. And my husband says, it's just random, but it's kind of cool. And I'm like, okay. And in my head, I'm thinking, maybe one day he'll see the God in that too. And with that, I will pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Lisa C. from New Jersey. Next up, we have Sim B, followed by Ann M. Good morning, Sim.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. This is Sim B in Michigan, recovering overeater and bulimic, and just returning to a sense of wholeness one day at a time. So thank you for the opportunity to share here and to be inspired by all of you. And thank you for all of your service. I'm moved in the same, in a similar vein of, you know, what's God got to do with this? You know, for a long time, I've just noticed that it was easier for me to just rely on myself and my abundant energy, and how that inevitably led to me flailing in life and just this tremendous buildup of pressure, which I didn't know how to relieve that pressure. That was like a pressure that was, you know, incomprehensible in some ways, and food for some reason seemed to make, and has seemed to make, the most sense to, like, just deal with that pressure. And I see it's a spiritual pressure. It's really like a sense of connection that is, that pressure is really about reaching towards, and that's what I got in the reading, is reaching towards, as in my home, you know, there's a lot of reaching towards, you know, academics or athletics, but there wasn't, and there was some, you know, mindfulness meditation and things like that. The reaching towards a power greater than myself, ourselves, as I define it, and feel that pressure release by channeling or connecting with it and then being guided by it, rather than me having to run the show, which has not worked and inevitably led me to, like, injure myself and others. And I'm seeing, you know, that's part of my recovery right now, is seeing, what do I do when I feel this pressure that I'm too tired to say a kind word or to listen or to do the thing that, you know, my wife wants me to do, or to be kind to my children when they're in full upset mode and, you know, a 3-year-old is crying and the 8-year-old is crying and everyone is crying, it's just and the dog is going nuts and my wife's not available for, you know, this moment in her cycle, and I'm just feeling very alone. So what do I do? And ultimately it seems that this reaching towards and surrendering ultimately is what restores. So I'll complete there, and thank you very much for the opportunity to share today.
Thank you, Simbi from Michigan. Now we have Ann M. followed by Judith. Good morning, Ann.
Good morning, good morning. This is Ann M., officially listed from North Carolina, currently in Kentucky. And I am a compulsive overeater living in recovery and so very grateful to be here. So the sentence that sticks out in this paragraph, we had to face the fact we must find a spiritual basis of life or else, which reminds us of what we talked about yesterday. We've got two choices, to be doomed an alcoholic death or live on a spiritual basis. So we have to find it. And I have a note that this is the only requirement that this chapter gives us, that, you know, this is a requirement of the program. And it took me several years to get there. Well, probably more than several. It took me maybe a decade to get there. But I'm so grateful to be there now. And one thing that I have done that has helped me is to work very diligently with my sponsor following the directions in this book that I think of as a textbook for living. And when I surrender myself to the God of my understanding and surrender myself to the directions that this big book provides and that my sponsor has provided me, life goes oh so much smoother. And I am in food neutrality the majority of the time, but I'm also in emotional neutrality. Had an example just yesterday where my daughter called me in yet another crisis. And I am so grateful that yesterday I was able to listen without trying to fix, listen without getting emotionally caught up in it myself. Our previous speaker alluded to these same kinds of things. And whereas before, I would just get so wrought up in somebody else's crisis that I'm totally enmeshed in it, and if I can't do something about it, then I have to turn to the drug of my choice, which is sugar, to calm all those feelings. And I don't have to do that anymore. I can turn instead to the God of my understanding and quiet myself with, "Thy will, not mine, be done." And with that, I pass. Thank you so very much for being here.
Thank you, Ann M. from North Carolina. Judith, it's your turn, followed by Stephanie. And Judith, can we have the initial of your last name and where you're calling from, please?
Sure. Hi, Lynn. My name is Judith S.P. I live in Maryland. Gratefully recovered for this moment only because of my higher power, whom I call God. And again, thank you, Lynn. Thank you, everyone, for your service. I've circled in this paragraph only one word, and that word is must. And a lot of times I unfortunately forget what my must is. If I don't turn my will and my life over to a higher power, whatever that is, nature, whatever, it doesn't matter. Just something outside of Judith. I'm always getting caught in a trap, and the trap is myself. When it says on the first line, it isn't so difficult. Yeah, The only difficulty is me. That is tremendous. And over the last 5 years, I have made a lot of progress. But I get up every morning, as I've done this morning, in turmoil. And the only way, the calamity in my life is going to be matched by serenity, is to follow the simple rules outlined in this book. Our forefathers and mothers told me at the beginning of this book, they are going to show me exactly how they recovered. Not sort of kind of maybe if this, but, you know, very general. They really get to the heart of it. And I realize and know, and I've heard from many, that this is a book of the language of the heart. I have got to give my head, my thoughts, my thinking, a sabbatical, a very long sabbatical, to just come along for the ride. I must find a spiritual basis. And too often, I find myself taking control and thinking I know better. And it never works. So I commit to you, I commit to myself, that I'm going to work as hard as I can, one moment at a time, to stay with my God and know that that is the right path for myself, for those in my circle, and for my place in this world. The only purposes I have is to love and serve. How do I get there? By following a spiritual path. I've got to be spiritually fit, which comes from practicing my spiritual activity every single day. So with that, I pass, and I'm truly grateful. Thank you.
Thank you, Judith S.P. from Maryland. Next up, we have Stephanie W., followed by Vaughn. Hi, Stephanie. Stephanie, please press star 1 to unmute. Okay, maybe we'll go on to Vasa O then and come back to Stephanie. Vasa, can you go now?
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Lynette, for your service. And I'm Vasa, grateful, recovered compulsive reader, calling from Foxborough, Massachusetts. And we shared a lot yesterday about atheists and agnostics. And I'll just give you a little bit on my background. I grew up in a communist country, and I was 15 years old when I came to America. And also, I grew up in a very religious home. My father was a pastor. So I had a lot of confusion in my head. You know, my teachers would, you know, we were taught in school there's no God. Communism is God, you know. People just, yeah, we thought there was no God. So I had a lot of mixed feelings. And anyways, here we come to America, and I started eating. We all, as a family, turned into the food because we didn't have the stuff in the old country. We were poor, and I gained like 20 pounds in 1 month. So I didn't know till I came to Overeaters Anonymous, they called it a disease or eating disorder, bulimia, anorexia. I didn't know much about it. I knew about alcoholism. And then I remember saying, well, why can't they put the alcohol down? I blamed the alcoholics. And now I'm saying, returning it back to me, why I cannot put the food down, which I tried for 25 years of my life. And yeah, I've been looking for God. I just did not know how to find God. And I remember even before I came to Overeaters Anonymous, I had given into the food. There's no more I could do. Everything I tried did not work. And I remember praying to God and saying to God, if you're out there, please show me where you are. Give me a sign where you are. Guess what? Not too long after that, my Abby came to visit me at my house. and told me about food addiction. Her number addiction was alcohol. She could put the alcohol down, but not the food. So she introduced me to, and yes, yeah, but after a while, we had to face the fact that we must find a spiritual basis of life, or else. I was so excited to find out there was a name for what I had been going for all those years. I had the disease. I had the body allergy, the mental obsession. I was very excited. But I also I remember people say they're grateful, recovering compulsive overeater. I said, I don't know. I don't know if I want to give up all the foods that I lost over. But anyways, for me, it was live it or take it. And I needed to surrender to find a power greater. Yeah, thank you. To find a power greater in myself. And I did. And I still do. And I still keep coming. Many years. Thank you. And I pass.
Thank you, Vasa. Oh, so we'll try Stephanie W. Are you able to share now, please?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can. Hi, Stephanie. Please go ahead.
Oh, thank you so much for your service. I apologize. I was all ready to go and I was on mute. Hi, everyone. I am so grateful to be abstinent this day, one day at a time, working the steps. I was in recovery for over 20 years, trying to do it on my own will. I just said, if I could only do the tools enough, I could stay abstinent. And I really thought that I had a relationship with God. And I was so deluded. You know, when I got to Big Book, it was after 20 years, not 20, it was 19 years in recovery. I found Big Book. I read the Big Book and I went, oh my goodness, this is why. And I started doing the third step prayer, reading with my Big Book sponsor, writing my fourth step. For the first time in all that time, the food did not call to me. It was, you know, the third step prayer was the most spiritual prayer I had ever prayed in my life, because I did not know that I was doing everything with my will. Call six people a day. Go to three meetings, phone meetings a day. You know, have two sponsors. You know, me. I will do it. I will do it. Well, when you're up against a disease like compulsive overeating, that was my Goliath. There was no way without God. God was the answer. So today, when I share one-on-one with people, I'll say, you know, I'm a God person. I have no other story to tell you. I could not stay abstinent until I turned my life and my will over to God. And that's what it says in We Agnostic. This is such a beautiful chapter because it tells everyone, whether people have never known anything about God or people who have thought that they're super, they have a super relationship with God. This chapter tells us, okay, but there's a different way of looking at having a relationship with God. It's, I'm powerless, God, over this food thing. And when I put it in my mouth, it's that double-edged sword. It sets up that craziness in my head, but it also sets up that obsession in the body, that allergy. And so without God, well, I'm living proof over 19 years in recovery, and I went every day. And I tried and tried and tried. Without God, it availed me nothing. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
And where are you calling from, Stephanie? Okay, we missed her. All right, for those of us who might have come on the line a little bit later, today we're continuing our study of the Big Book in the chapter We Agnostics. We are on page 44, the third paragraph, but it isn't so difficult. The line is now open for sharing on what we just read. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared yesterday or the day before, please step back and let others have their turn. And please, say your name just once. It does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share?
Fran B.
Oh, boy.
Esther K.
Okay. I think
Ron G.
Yeah, can we just hang on just for a minute, please? Because there was a whole bunch at the front I missed. Let me tell you who I did hear. I heard Esther, Anita J., and Roz G. Who did I miss, please?
Betty G.
Fran V.
Okay, I heard Betty, and I think I heard Fran.
Yes, Fran V.
Fran Z, Betty, Esther,
Betty
Jean, Anita J., and Roz G. Who else?
Teresa C.
Teresa C. Okay, let's go with that lineup. I know I missed different parts of people's names, but we'll see who we've got here. We're going to start with Fran D, followed by Betty. Hi, Fran. Please go ahead. Press star 1 to unmute, Fran.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I thought I was unmuted. Good morning, and thank you for your service. Fran V, recovered compulsive eater in Florida. And for the longest time, I sought human aid solutions. I had really had to exhaust myself looking for something that would work. Excuse me. And I'm the chronic type, so nothing but the 12 steps is going to work for me. But, you know, there are other methods that work for other people, and that's fine. But I came here, you know, desperate, hopeless, and accepting powerlessness. That is the only way that I was going to accept that God was going to do for me what I couldn't do for myself, was that I was powerless over my compulsive eating. And I, too, was brought up in a religious background. And but when it came to my compulsive eating, there was no power there at all. So I had to have come to believe, and all I had to be was willing. Only had to be willing. I could move forward by just being willing, and I'm grateful for that. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Fran Z. Next we have Betty, followed by Esther. Good morning, Betty.
Hi, this is Betty Jean. Good morning, compulsive overeater in Connecticut. Good to be here with you all. When I came to this program, I really didn't understand it because I thought that God was the farthest thing from food. I was hiding what I was doing. I thought from everyone, certainly from my families, I was embarrassed by the way I ate and by what I ate. I never wanted to talk to God about that. I did have a good religious upbringing with good parents who taught me of a loving God. I thought I had a spiritual life. My life now is so much bigger and better, and I really have so much more going on. I have so much more going on spiritually in my life than I ever could have imagined. And the biggest part of this program for me is the spiritual aspect of it. If I don't have that, I don't have anything. God is the closest thing to food and to everything. And it's made all the difference in the world. Yesterday, I had to go to the emergency room, and I was texting all my fellows. And I got like 30 phone calls in the emergency room. I wasn't alone. I knew that God was there. He was taking care of me. I got in and out of an emergency room in an hour. It was a miracle. I have to give over every single thing, every aspect of my life to God and no one else. And I can never go back to the days when I thought I was God and played God in my life and everyone else's life. I have a life now that's deeper and richer than I ever could have imagined. and it's because of my spiritual life. I tried every man-made solution. I had been on every diet in the world, just like all of you. None of them worked. They all worked for a couple weeks, a couple months. Then I relapsed. This is the only thing that works. I'm glad you're all here. Thank you all, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Betty Jean from Connecticut. And now we're going to hear from Esther, followed by Anita J. Good morning, Esther.
Good morning. I'm Esther K. from Georgia, right now in Florida. In February 28, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. I felt that my whole life was falling apart because I just lost my father. Says, why me? So through my surgery, March 4th, and through today, I totally surrender to the higher power. And right now that I'm in Florida and I'm staying at my sister's house because that's where my mom lives, that 3 months of surrendering, letting go, working the program, not controlling, it's helped me today to be 24 hours inside my sister's apartment, not going out, cooking for myself, being abstinent, going to exercise. Right now I'm in the lobby of the apartment building talking to all of you. And that's what God needed to put me 3 months of recovery, like being in a hospital, because I couldn't do anything else because I went through radiation and all that stuff. So today I see the miracle of God giving me that little push of that kiss. Yes, I know I went through hell. But no, now I'm so grateful that God put me, because I'm so stubborn and I like to do it my way, that I needed to have a huge push. And everything, it's, I'm accepting everything the way it is. Sometimes that not all the foods that I eat usually at home, I go around and say, oh, I can eat this and this and this, and I'm still abstinent. It's okay. And I'm so grateful today that I was able to commit it. And yes, when I was through radiation, my food was not supposed to be, because I was being sick all the time. So my sponsor told me, very kind, very sweet, I says, okay, Esther, you're not sick anymore. You don't have a break. Total honest. And that's who I am today. Total honest. And I'm abstinent. And I used to eat at night at my parents' apartment because I was so scared. I don't know, well, all the issues from my past. I eat at 6 o'clock, brush my teeth, brush my face, and at 8 o'clock, 8:30, go to sleep. That is a miracle, and that is really what I was always dream of, and I'm living it through just for today. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Esther K. from Georgia. Anita J., good morning, followed by Roz G.
Good morning, Lynn. This is Anita J., trying to get back to the feeling of recovered again. But I wanted to say, the first sponsor I ever had in the big book, I don't even remember her name. We came to this chapter, and I said, well, we can skip this chapter, because I go to church and I believe in a God. And God loved that woman. She said, yes, but you might. She accepted it. And she said, you know, maybe you're going to sponsor people who don't feel like you. Don't you think that this chapter would help you help them? Oh, says I. And that began my discovering what a delusional person I am, or have been, just thinking that whatever I had, you know, was it. And my father was a churchman. He always went. But when I got more into this looking at God, and I asked him, you know, why do you go to church, Dad? And he goes, well, was going to bury you. So his motive is not going to sustain me thinking about that. But God now I have found is everywhere. And, you know, I live in an independent living place, and the place we always exercised is being redone. So we went outside and we were doing chair yoga. That's where I'm at now. And, you know, we turned off the music because we could hear the rustle of the leaves in the trees, the birds. And I thought, oh, my God, thank you, God. He's everywhere. And I thought, why? You don't have to wait for 10 o'clock on such and such a day to come feel God out here. This is, he's everywhere. Yeah, he's also in my apartment, and he's everywhere. But what a wonderful way to find him out there. And, you know, I love you all. And I found, guess what? After 5 years here, one of my good friends started to talk to me about her prayer life. I thought, oh, thank you, God. I have a little buddy now. We can discuss things like that together. So thank you all. Great chapter. We're going to be in it for a while. And I pass.
Thank you, Anita J. Roz G., good morning, followed by Teresa C.
Good morning. My name is Roz G. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm awake at 4:05 in the morning, 4-something in the morning, in Palmdale, California. And I think you're on the paragraph that says, but it isn't so difficult. And yep. Yes, thank you. I have outlined in my big book here, we must find a spiritual basis of life or else. And I have the word must circled. And the word, the emphasize or else. And when I was a kid, my mother said to me, Roz, you better do this or else. And the or else was never good. The or else was always, you're going to be in trouble if you don't do this, if you don't do the dishes, if you don't do your chores, if you don't turn your head and face the cross at church, I'm going to get you. And I feel as though the big book is telling me that the same thing. Maybe not like so much as the threat of my mother, but that or else means that I'm going to go back into a hellish type of life if I don't find a spiritual basis, if I don't look to God every day. And yesterday I was in my garden. Thank God it's summertime for me as a teacher, and I was just trimming and picking tomatoes and just being there. It was so wonderful. And I was listening to something religious on YouTube. It was so beautiful that it brought tears to my eyes, that just being in the garden and looking at the beauty of what God creates after I put a seed in the ground comes out. And I felt, and tears kind of streamed down my cheeks, and I'm not much of a crier, but it was just so beautiful that simple act of trimming bushes and picking tomatoes and watering was so satisfactory. I wasn't thinking about food, or I wasn't thinking about things in my life that I don't have. I was just thinking about how beautiful the creation of God is. And, you know, I don't feel that way every day, but I had a very special moment with God yesterday. And once, you know, in the morning when I acknowledge God first thing, and I ask him to direct my thinking, to give me the power of his will, you know, to carry the vision of God's will, the power to carry it out, to grow understanding and effectiveness and to work with other people. I'm living on a spiritual basis of life, and it's beautiful. And I have a new employer. It's God. So whatever I'm doing, I try to remember that I'm doing it for God. Thank you very much. I pass.
Thank you, Roz G. from California. Teresa C., good morning.
Good morning, everyone. Teresa C., grateful recovered food addict in New Jersey. What I was thinking about in this paragraph is that same thing about, we must find a spiritual basis of life or else. So it goes, for me, it went back to the thing we were talking about before, like, you have two choices. And I was someone, I have the word hopeless in the paragraph before circled, because that's really what I was just saying. Am I of this hopeless variety? Because I've been in the program many years, I've been through the steps many years, I found some measure of abstinence, but really wasn't able to hold on to it. And the first thing I thought of was, just thank you, just such gratitude that there is a choice, when I was feeling hopeless, I didn't know that I really had a choice. But going through this again has helped me to see that, yes, I do. And I think what made a difference for me and how I can be recovered now is the fact that this time when I went through the steps, and I don't know that I was really aware of it, but this time when I went through the steps, I really knew it was about the spirituality part. I really knew it was about turning things over, and that was the major roadblock that I had, that I couldn't give up things for a long period of time. But I also had faith and know that if I went through again, being willing to put aside my own ego and look for that relationship with my higher power. I have a relationship, but it wasn't fulfilled, I don't think, as it needed to be, because I was hanging on to so many things. But this time it feels like it's working. I'm feeling like I have a much better connection with my higher power. And I've been abstinent. It's on 30 days now. And for me, that's really good. And I am feeling very good about this, just the serenity that it's given me. And so I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Teresa C. Thank you to everyone who shared. And thank you to Team Thursday. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. And the share ID for today, Thursday, June the 11th, the 7 a.m. meeting, is 23539. That's 23539. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Reva P., would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning. This is Reva P., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Toronto. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until